Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am Michelle Morris from Consolidated Planning Group. I want to say hello and thank you, of course, to Mary at Thrive Parent Group. They have fantastic resources and networks and have allowed us to share with them today by helping spread the word about our webinar. Mary, could you tell us a little bit about the Thrive Parent Group and what you guys do?
Sure. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be able to talk to you guys and let you know about another resource for you. Thrive Parent Group is a group that is focused on the families of people who have not neurodivergent young people in their life. Mainly it's age 18 through 50 plus the parent that the young person is. We have parents and also interested family members who are involved in this. And once a month, we bring a speaker or some important person who has something to teach us. And we gather together on Zoom and we connect with each other. We share our stories. We also learn from the speaker and we repeat the next month. So, we have through the years really developed like a lot of learning that we share with each other. We keep having new people join. We have another depth of it where we can work together in a small group. That's just a little offshoot. But you start with coming to the Thrive Parent Groups, and we are doing a lot of learning, and we're also focusing on the needs of the caregiver. Because we really believe that our life force matters too. And we want to nurture that as well. So we have speakers that are on that contingent as well.
That's really good. That's really good to hear because it's so important.
Because we can't keep going forever. We need help. And we also need a plan for the future. And that is another thing we focus on, is the transition. To give our young people the best life that they can. We learn about how we teach them, how we can support them, and like what are their next options. That's kind of what we talk about in that group. We meet once a month on the third Wednesday every month. We have a upcoming holiday party that is paired with the Autism Society. And that's on November, I'm sorry, December 14th. You can see more about that on the Autism Society website. You can find all of our information actually on the calendar from the Autism Society website.
So, if somebody wants to join Thrive, what areas do you serve and how do they sign up?
Okay, so we do all of Texas. And beyond. So, some of us, I'm included in that, have decided that we can't necessarily make the next steps while we're in Texas. So, I've moved. I'm now in Kansas. So we have people who are really all over the United States, mostly Texas, though, but all parts of Texas. So, to join, it's as easy as getting the link from the Autism Society and just coming that night. And they start at 6:30. So just click the link. It's that easy. If you wanted to make a contact with someone beforehand, Susan, the founder and also the leader, I'm standing in for her today. She is willing to give out her email and her phone number. So if anybody would like that, I'll put it in the chat.
Yes, please do that. I think a lot of people here would be interested in learning more about Thrive. Now, do you focus mainly on parents of individuals with autism?
Yes. But neurodivergent. We are not picky. If you feel like you can learn something from our group, then you are welcome.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Mary. Was there anything else you wanted to tell us about you or Thrive?
Well, I think anyone in our position can get use all the support they can get. So I would say just check it out because if you can add more support, do it.
Yeah, it's always beneficial and always helpful. And we talk about that all the time, about building up your circles and, you know, the inner circle, and then there's layers of different people on your support team.
Yeah.
And we're all here to help. So thank you so much, Mary.
True. Thanks for
we appreciate you sharing us with your group, and we like being able to share you with our group. So today we're going to be talking about ABLE accounts. Again, I'm Michelle from Consolidated Planning Group. We're in webinar mode, which means I cannot hear or see the participants, but I welcome you to put any questions or comments that you have into the chat box. We don't discourage you from chatting and answering each other's questions. If you've got experience and you've been through it, feel free to help others out. That's what we're all here for, to learn together. So Consolidated Planning Group is a holistic special needs planning firm. We're an independent firm located just outside of Houston, Texas, but we can work all across the United States. So today's topic, speaking of ABLE accounts, is not specific to Texas. You can have an ABLE account no matter what state you're in, and we can help you no matter what state you're in. So today's webinar is going to be beneficial no matter where you're at. We have been in business for 30 years. We have experience with insurance and financial services. We've won awards. We're members of the Special Needs Planning Academy. We're nationally certified Social Security advisors. I am a chartered special needs consultant. We've got 4 financial advisors on our team and a fantastic staff that helps with all of the background stuff that needs to happen in an office. And we love serving families all across the United States. We help when we're talking about special needs planning, we're talking more about the financial side of things. A special needs attorney or a family attorney who focuses on special needs planning is the best place to help you with the legal, the paperwork side, like guardianship and your special needs trust, your will. You definitely need both a special needs focused attorney and a special needs focused financial advisor, because we're going to help make sure that you understand the best ways to use your money for your loved one, how to plan for their future, what the costs look like, and how to set things up correctly. Of course, we can also refer you to an attorney in your area who can help you. But we don't work with them. They don't work with us. There's no, you know, referral exchange happening there. It's just that through being in the community and through working with families like yours, we have learned who the good attorneys are to refer our clients to. So we help families with protection plans, you know, thinking about the future. What does that look like? How are you going to protect your loved ones if you or your spouse were to pass away early or become disabled and not be able to have that income for your family? How are you going to protect that income? We look at lifetime care planning. You know, what are the costs going to be for your loved one, and how can you make sure they're going to be well taken care of? We help with transition planning. There's 3 big transitions that we really focus on. That is the transition from turning from a minor to age 18. All of a sudden, your child is an adult in the eyes of the law. And certain things have to happen to set that up correctly, to set them up for success. So there's the transition to adulthood. There's a transition from high school to whatever comes after high school. You know, you don't want them to just sit on the couch. And then there's the transition later in life from your household to whatever living arrangement they will be in for the rest of their lives. So we can help you with all of those things. Transition planning for those is very important. And the sooner you can get started, the better it will be for your family. We help set up ABLE accounts. That's what we're here to talk about for the most part today. And, you know, we're here to advocate for you and to educate you on all these topics because there's a lot of noise out there. There are well-meaning loved ones who try to help but might not really know all the nuances like we do. Fewer than a tenth of a percent of all the financial advisors across the entire United States understand all of these things the way that we do. Out of 263,000 financial advisors in the US, fewer than 200 really focus on special needs planning like we do at Consolidated Planning Group. So that is, you know, it's not just some of our clients have kids with a disability, whether it be intellectual or developmental. It's almost all of our clients have a loved one in their life who is going to need ongoing care and support. And that's what we're here to do. We keep updated on all the laws. We watch out for what's going on. We can help you with all of this stuff, no matter where you live. One important thing that I want to go over, you know, the ABLE account has a December 31st deadline. So we find at our office that we get very, very busy towards the end of the year. That's why we're having this webinar right now. And people want to hurry up and sign up for their ABLE accounts. Well, we try to do everything. We can't be in 14 places all at once. So we are putting for our office, this is not a national deadline. This is not an ABLE account deadline. This is the deadline for our office, December 12th. If you want Consolidated Planning Group to open an ABLE account for you and to answer all your questions about an ABLE account, get your money sent over there. We will not take any new applications for ABLE accounts after December 12th, okay? So we would love to help you out. No matter where you live, let us know ahead of time so we're not just scrambling trying to get everything done at that very last, during the Christmas holidays. And my birthday is New Year's Eve, so I don't work on New Year's Eve. So let's talk about ABLE accounts. So you might have heard of a 529 college savings plan. That's a 529C. And of course, that's how I remember it. 529C is for college. There's also a 529A. It's just a different section of that same tax code, but the 529A is your ABLE account. ABLE stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. So, you know, all across the country, nearly every state has its own state-sponsored 529A ABLE account program. You can choose almost any of those that you want because most of them don't require that you live in that specific state to be able to use their ABLE account. So, for example, here in Texas, there is an ABLE account, but just because I live in Texas, it doesn't mean I have to use the Texas one. I can compare all the ABLE accounts across the United States if I want to and use whichever one I want. Now, at Consolidated Planning Group, we set this up for you at no cost to you. There are maintenance fees and account fees and things like that with the different ABLE accounts. And some of those vary. That's why it's important to really, you know, compare and contrast the different accounts. The one that we use for our clients is through Virginia. We use that account for our own families, and we like it the best because it has, it's easy to sign up for, it's easy to understand. The fees are very reasonable, and they do a good job investing the money and showing growth in that account. So the ABLE account is very similar to the 529 college savings plan, but you need to consult the state-specific plan that you're interested in to find out about all of those things. Look at the account fees, the investment options, their level of customer service, and if they actually know what they're doing. Those are all important questions to ask. So really, the beneficiary is the account owner. So let's say you're this little boy here, he's the account owner. Grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, friends and family, anybody who wants to can put money into this account for this boy. Those contributions are not deductible on your federal taxes, but some states do allow you to take a state income tax deduction for your ABLE contributions. Now, here in Texas, we don't have state income tax. So you cannot get a state income tax deduction in Texas, but other states might allow you to do that. So what you do is friends and family put money into this ABLE account. There is a fee associated with it. Most of them take that fee up front. So, for example, with the Virginia account, you put in your money, they take out 3.5% front end off the top. Means anytime you put money in, they take 3.5% as the maintenance fee. And then the rest of that money goes to buy mutual funds. You can set your risk tolerance level as high or as low as you want. To be more risky, more reward, less risky, less reward, but more safety. Once you put your money into the ABLE account, that grows. So because it's buying mutual funds, those funds over time are earning money and the account grows. And that money that you earn through this investment is not taxed. That's where one of the big benefits comes in, is that the money that you earn through the ABLE account is not taxed. The other great benefit of the ABLE account is that this is a place where you can save money for your loved ones, but it will not affect their SSI or Medicaid waiver programs, any of the other benefits, statewide, federal, government. Sponsored benefits, it won't affect those benefits. So, one of the main things that families use this for, especially when their children turn 18, is that when your child's bank account is starting to grow and it's starting to get to that $2,000 limit, remember with SSI benefits and any Medicaid benefits, your child's bank account cannot go above $2,000. There are two places where your child can have money that is in the ABLE account or a special needs trust. So when your child's bank account starts to get to like that $2,000 limit, it's perfect to just scooch some money into the ABLE account. I think that's the technical term for it. Scooch it over. And then your ch that money won't count against your child for their benefits. Now, this account is available to any disabled individual where that disability started before age 26. Now, I've been told that this rule is going to change within the next few months, maybe the next year, where it's going to go up to like 40 or 50 something. If somebody knows that off the top of your head, you can put it in the chat box. But this age limit is going to go up. So if you missed it the first time around, you can come back and get your ABLE account once they change the rule. But basically, you have to be able to prove that the loved one in your life that is going to be the owner of this account has documentation that their disability, whatever it is, started before age 26. When you sign up for the ABLE account, it's not like SSI where you go through the process and they have to have all of your doctor's information and really dig into that disability. With the ABLE account, you basically just sign, you check a box and sign the affidavit saying that it is true that you are certifying that this person has a disability. And knock on wood, none of our clients have been audited yet, but we would want you to be sure that you could prove it if you ever were audited. So contributions, again, anybody can put money into the ABLE account of an individual. Each person can have one ABLE account. And the amount that you can put in there for 2024 is $18,000. So whatever the gift tax exclusion for the year is what the amount is going to be for how much you can put in the ABLE account each year. So next year, that gift tax exclusion, it's already been set. It's going to be $19,000. So next year, you can put $19,000 into the ABLE account. Now, beyond that $18,000, if your child is working, they can put more money into the ABLE account. Now, it has to be, they can't put more than they earned at work, and they cannot put more than $14,580 additional into that ABLE account from their work funds. So you can put in $18,000, you can put in an additional $14,580 this year if they are working. You cannot, do not ever let your ABLE account balance go beyond $100,000 if you are still on SSI benefits. If you go above $100,000, that will disqualify the beneficiary from SSI benefits. Now, the true limit on an ABLE account is actually much higher. You're allowed to put more in, but SSI will cut you off if you go above $100,000. If you are at a point in your life where your child is no longer drawing SSI, then that rule would not be as important for you, okay? Let's talk about distributions. What can you use this money for? An ABLE account can be used really for any qualified disability expenses. Now, what does that mean? When you're thinking about an ABLE account, a qualified disability expense means anything that can help your loved one achieve a better life experience. Remember, that's what ABLE stands for. And that's what you can use it for, achieving a better life experience. You do not get taxed on those expenses when you spend money from the ABLE account. There are no penalties, no problems. Now, the earnings are subject to ordinary income tax and a 10% penalty if you use it on something that is not a qualified disability expense. Okay. So if you take out that money to use it to purchase, I don't know, something for the parents or something for the child who is not disabled, those would require you to pay a penalty and taxes. If you're using the money to pay for something for your loved one, then you can use it for anything without penalties or taxes. Okay. The growth in the investments, again, it is tax-free. You can change your investment allocation up to twice a year. You can roll over the money to other family members as long as they are eligible. So as long as they have a disability as well, you can roll it over to another family member. If you need to roll it over to a family member who does not have a disability, it can be rolled to a 529 college savings plan, but there might be penalties and fees associated with that move. Now, the other thing that you need to know about the ABLE account is that when your disabled individual passes away, Medicaid can come back and claim reimbursement using any funds that are left over in the ABLE account. So let's say you're going along, you've got 20 grand in your ABLE account, and your loved one unfortunately passes away. Medicaid can come back and claim that $20,000. They can only claim how much they say that they have spent on your loved one. So if your loved one has been getting Medicaid for several years and they've been receiving Medicaid services, chances are Medicaid would claim all of that $20,000. If there is no money in the account when your loved one passes away, then there's nothing for Medicaid to claim. They can't do anything about it. If there is additional funds in the account after Medicaid comes and reclaims what they are owed, then those funds can be distributed as you would wish to any beneficiary or rolled over to an eligible family member. Okay, let's look at some questions in the chat box really quick. Again, if you want Consolidated Planning Group to set up your ABLE account, we do not charge you a fee for that. If you want to set it up yourself online through any of the other providers, you can certainly do that for yourself as well. Does the $100,000 rule apply for SSDI? Well, you see here that the rule says that $100,000 would disqualify the beneficiary for SSI benefits. So it would not necessarily affect their SSI benefits, but what you do want to remember is that you still need to qualify for Medicaid so that you still will be qualified to get the waiver programs, which can be very, very beneficial. And of course, you want to continue receiving any other Medicaid benefits that you can get. So you do need to still watch out for the $2,000 limit in that bank account for Medicaid. But generally, if you're getting SSDI and Medicaid, not SSI, you should be able to put more money in your ABLE account. And you could possibly go over that $100,000 limit, but you really don't want to. You want your ABLE account to be like a save to spend account. This is not an account where you want the money to sit for 30 or 40 years like a traditional retirement account. This is money that you want to put in to spend because you don't want Medicaid to come back and claim all this money. You want to use it for your loved one, right? Money that is in larger amounts goes to the Special Needs Trust. And then that way, the Special Needs Trust can be used to pay for housing and things like that later in life when your child is not receiving SSI. So again, if it can be construed as achieving a better life for an individual with a disability, then you can use the ABLE account to pay for it. Qualified expenses include basic daily living expenses. And that's the big thing here, because you can use the ABLE account to pay for housing, to pay for utilities for that housing, mortgage insurance premiums, condo fees and charges. These are all of the types of things that if you used your special needs trust to pay for some of those things, then you would lose out on some SSI money, right? Because the rule is with SSI, part of that money is supposed to be used to pay for housing. So if you're not using part of your SSI money to pay for housing, then they're not going to give you as much SSI money. So they consider money from the ABLE account for some reason. You can use that for housing. Excuse me. But you cannot use money from your special needs trust if you're on SSI. Okay. And that's why these two. That's why these two work so well together. I am sorry, guys. Hold on just one second. Okay, so you can use it for health and wellness. You can use it for housing, clothing, cars, computer, vacations, transportation, education, any adaptive technology, legal expenses. You can really use the ABLE account for anything as long as it's for your disabled loved one. Can I have my child's SSI deposited directly into the ABLE account? I think so, but it's really better if you just have it into your child's account and then move it to the ABLE account. One thing that we always encourage our families to do because you want to show that your child is paying you rent. If they're over 18 and they're living there with you in your own home, you can let SSI know that they're paying rent, and that would get you more SSI money. So what we suggest is that rent payment comes from their SSI. You move it to your bank account because you want to show that paper trail that your child is paying you rent. And then once it's in your bank account, maybe 500, 600 bucks a month, something like that, then you just move it from your bank account into the ABLE. That's a great way to get it out of their bank account, create a paper trail to earn more SSI money, and fund the ABLE account. So the special needs trust, on the other hand, so what is really, my husband brought me some cough drops. He's the sweetest. What we think, you know, your special needs trust, it's best for your big assets, like life insurance, your investment accounts, your bank account. When you pass away, it can go to the special needs trust because those are going to be bigger amounts of money, right? You don't have to worry about any limits on how much you can put into the special needs trust. Whereas with that ABLE account, there's a yearly limit and there's an overall maximum limit, right? So use your special needs trust for those things. Use it when you don't have to rely on SSI anymore to pay for housing. But until then, you cannot use it for housing. You can use it for a lot of different things. So that's, I mean, those are the two main differences between the ABLE and the special needs trust and why they work so good together, because you can save money for the far future in the special needs trust. You can save money for 2 or 3 years down the road, or just to have walking around cash for your loved one. Put that in your ABLE account, okay? Can I have, oh, I already got that one. Okay. So look at this list. These are things that your special needs trust should not be used for. Rent, mortgage payments, real estate taxes, utilities like gas, water, homeowners insurance. Do not take out money for cash from your special needs trust or food. And really, you can't get reimbursement from the trust unless the trustee says that it's okay. Now, if you pay for these things through the special needs trust, it would reduce the amount of SSI money you get. If you pay for them with the ABLE account, that rule does not apply. So, if you already have, maybe you already have a 529 college savings plan set up for your loved one, and now you're starting to realize that maybe they won't be going to college because of this disability, and I've got this money sitting over here in a 529 college savings plan that can be only used for educational purposes, well, that can become a big problem if they don't need it for that, and that's all you can use it for. But it's very easy to roll a 529C over to a 529 ABLE account. And that's perfect because you can still use it for educational expenses if you want. And if your child is going to go into some kind of educational option beyond high school, but you're not required to only use it on education. So that's very helpful. So we thought that since we were talking about that topic here, we would go ahead and give you some examples of some educational options available to you outside, beyond high school. A lot of these are in Texas, some are not, and there are programs like this all across the United States. So if you think, oh, college is definitely not for my loved one, think about why you think that. Is it because it might be too academically rigorous? Well, you know, maybe your child can handle one class at a time, or lower level, lower difficulty classes. Is it because you think your child cannot live on their own? Well, there are mentorships, there are support programs, there are schools where your child can live at home and go to a local school and get some classes. And there are many, many colleges that offer some kind of program to give supports to your loved ones. The college living experience, which is here on the left column about halfway down, is a great resource. And these are links here. So if any of these links don't work, please let me know so that I can go into the slides and fix those. But the college living experience provides a search engine that will tell you what educational programs are out there for our loved ones at different colleges all across the United States. So you can check into those programs. Some of them have, like I said, mentorship and support services on campus where your child can go to school and have that on campus. There are also programs externally, like Bloom Consulting comes to mind, and there are a lot of others that do virtual mentorship for your loved one and have meetings with them virtually to help guide them and give them cues and help them learn to be more organized and things like that. So there's a question in the chat box. If the disabled adult child is on SSDI, not SSI, SSDI. This means that the parents have already either turned on their retirement benefits, or maybe the parents are disabled, or one of the parents has passed away. That's when your child will switch from SSI to SSDI. So we have an individual on SSDI. They have a Medicaid payback trust. That means it's a first party special needs trust that also has the Medicaid reimbursement clause. And that kind of trust is important if there is like a settlement where maybe the child was in an accident and the child gets a large lawsuit settlement. Maybe grandma and grandpa accidentally left money straight to the child. It would need to go into their first party trust. And the other reason you might need a first party trust is if there's child support in your situation. So there's a few reasons why you might have a first party trust, which is also called that Medicaid payback trust. Now on the third party special needs trust, that's the traditional kind of trust that we're generally talking about, where your life insurance would flow to the third party trust, excuse me, because you are leaving that asset to the trust for the benefit of your loved one, not straight to them. Okay, so two lines into your question, Karen, and I've had to explain because I want to make sure we're educating people out there. So if the individual, the disabled adult child, is on SSDI and has that Medicaid payback trust because of child support or whatever, can you use the trust to pay for housing? If your child is not receiving SSI, yes, you can use the trust to pay for housing. That's the big rule there. If you use the trust to pay for housing when you're on SSI, that's where the trouble comes in. So that was a long way to get to one answer, but I hope someone out there learned from it. Another thing that you might want to consider if you don't think that college might be an option for your loved one, after high school, there are a lot of great day programs and transition programs. You know, we used to always call them DAHAB. Now it's called ISS, Individual Supports and Services, or socialization services, something like that. Anyway, there are a lot of great programs here in Texas and all over the United States that provide options for day and transition programs. One that we recommend quite often is out in Arizona, and I can't think of what it's called right now. So I'm trying to help you out, but it is owned and run by a football player who has a child with a disability. And it's supposed to be a great program out in Arizona that is very affordable. So if somebody knows what I'm talking about, you can put that in the chat box. Otherwise, I'll look it up later And include it in the email we send out after the webinar. Here's some more great transition and residential programs all across Texas. Maybe it's on here, Texana, Reach Unlimited, Summer House. No, it's not on here. These are all mainly Texas options. Again, these should all be links, and I spent a really long time getting this together. So if you click on any of these when you get the slides later today and the links don't work, please just send me a quick note to let me know. I'm going to go ahead and put my email in the chat box again. It's mmorris@cpgcares.net. You can reach out to me if, no, it's not Tim Tebow. Thank you for trying to help, Lisa. Anyway, I'm going to put my email and my phone number. If anybody has questions or comments or wants to ask me or schedule your free consultation with Consolidated Planning Group, we can go into that. Other things to keep on your radar as you're planning for the future. You know, think about what's going to happen in the future for your loved one and what that care is going to look like and how you're going to budget and pay for that once you're gone. We can help you come up with a future cost of care, and we can help you decide, you know, how much money needs to be in that special needs trust to be able to pay that future care once you're gone. We can help you with the waivers list. Now, in Texas, the waiver programs have about a 20-year waiting list on some of those waivers. And the waiver programs are meant to help you pay for things like transportation, respite care, and nursing hours. It can help pay for medication, dental work, home improvements, home modifications for your individual. It can even in the future help pay for their housing. So the waiver programs are very, very important. If you're in Texas, you want to go to yourtexasbenefits.com to see where you are on the waiting list for the waivers. Now, if you're in another state besides Texas, they would have their own waiver programs. And many other states do not have this long wait list like we have here. Some states, it's a couple years. Some states, there is no waiting list for waivers at all. It's just that here in Texas, there is quite a long list. We can help you understand the differences between SSI and SSDI. So if when I was talking about that, you were super confused, just give me a call. We'll set up an appointment for you and answer any questions that you have. We help with ABLE accounts. We can talk to you about your beneficiary designations, special needs trust, guardianship. We've done a lot of webinars with attorneys where we talk to them about the things that they can help you with, like your special needs trust, your guardianship, or power of attorney, anything like that. We can talk to you about residential communities. We've done webinars where we have kind of several different representatives from different residential communities come in and talk. You do want to, as we're getting a note in the chat right now, make sure that you get on the waiting lists for these residential communities if you're interested in one. Make sure that you tour the residential community so that you can get a feel for what goes on there, who they accept, what the grounds are like. Get to know these people a little bit and get your child to know that residential community a little bit before you make that transition. And we really, really hope that you can do this. Of course, you know, nobody knows exactly when they're going to die and when your child is going to have to go to a residential community. But it would be obviously way better for your loved one if you can start this transition while you're still here to make it easier on them rather than you passing away. Now they have to move to a different community. They've lost you and they've changed their residence, and it's a lot all at once. So try to make it as easy on them as possible by getting them involved in the process of checking out all of these different places and vetting them to see what would be a good opportunity for them. If the trust or ABLE account pays for the residential community, do you lose the Medicaid waiver due to ISMs? That ISM is, you know, those things that you're taking care of for your loved one. That's where that rule is that comes in about the SSI. If you pay out of your special needs trust, it would reduce your SSI. So you need to look around and find out, you know, where can you board, where do you like, and where has an opening, and where will take your loved one. So there's a lot to consider. That's why it's so important to start early. And also watch out for educational options and vocational options for your loved one. This link, when you receive these slides later on, will take you straight to the events tab on our website. So our website is at consolidatedplanninggroup.com. You can see testimonials there. You can be linked to our YouTube channel. You can see this events tab where it will show you all of our upcoming webinars. You can even make an appointment for yourself straight through our website. But the upcoming webinars on this page, you can go and register ahead of time, and then you'll get reminders for our upcoming webinars so that you can attend. You'll even get emails that will have the webinar link and the slides after the webinar is finished, even if you can't attend that specific webinar. This is our team. Again, we are a very small group. We're an independent firm, and that allows us really to focus on helping those people that have individuals with a loved one with an intellectual or developmental disability. We have the flexibility because we're a small independent firm. We all four financial advisors, we're all parents. It's two husband and wife teams. So Allison and Jeff are married, myself and Andy with the big beard, we're married. We've all been through it. We've all worked with individuals with disabilities in the past. Allison and Jeff have two loved ones with disabilities. And that's why we're really here to serve you and to answer your questions. Finally, I want to show you this. We do offer a free consultation for anyone who wants one. You can use the QR code to schedule this. You can call the office at that phone number and that email address, or you can call or email me directly, and I'll set you up for your appointment myself. So any way you want to get your appointment scheduled is completely free. It's on Zoom. They normally take between 30 to 45 minutes just to get all of your questions answered, anything that you might want to know about special needs planning. And then we'll get to know you and your family a little bit. And then we'll go into what we do exactly and how we work, what our fees are, and how we can help your family. There's links on the bottom for our YouTube channel, Instagram, podcast, and Facebook. And we invite you to reach out. We do not charge anything unless you agree to work with us. And we're truly here to help you and guide you. I feel like we're a good resource for you. So please do feel free to reach out if you have questions about ABLE accounts or special needs trusts or anything else related to special needs financial planning. And we are happy to help. I don't see any more questions in the chat box. So if I've missed your question, or if maybe you are too shy to ask in public, please just schedule your free consult, call me or email me. We do ask you to fill out a short questionnaire about your family when you schedule, just so that we're not walking into your consultation completely blind. At least we can get some names and a little bit of info. So I look forward to meeting with you. I look forward to hearing from you. And I hope that today's webinar was helpful about the ABLE accounts and how those work and what you need to do. Again, I thank you for your time here. If you have any questions, reach out. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And you should receive these slides later on today in your email that you registered for this webinar with. So we'll see you soon. That ends today's presentation. And just let me know if there's anything else you need. Bye, everybody.